3:05 here on WGN. Mayor Lori Lightfoot joins the show now. Hey, good afternoon, Mayor. How you doing today? Busy day, I know, for you, and I bet they all are these days.
There's no days where I get to put my feet up and rest.
Yeah, I bet. I bet that's the case. We just heard you a couple hours ago with the new rules. I know we want to get to the budget in a limited amount of time, but that was fairly significant what you did today, and your tone was very serious. I mean, you could hear what you're saying. We're not doing well. You're rolling back indoor bar service. You're installing a new curfew in the city at 10 p.m.
Curfew for businesses.
Businesses, okay.
Yeah.
Does that include restaurants and all kinds of businesses other than essential businesses?
Yes, correct. So the only exception is for essential businesses. And look, I don't take any of these steps lightly. I know what our businesses, particularly our bars and restaurants, have been through this year. It's been very, very difficult on them. But what I'm seeing is an alarming increase in a number of cases, and really alarming as we're starting to see hospitalizations. And that is something that we have to take very, very seriously. When we see more people occupying hospital beds with COVID infections, what you then worry about is, are they moving to ICU beds? Are they then going to need to be on ventilation? And God forbid, this is going to result in an increase in the number of people who die from COVID-19.
Mayor,
so we've got to act and act quickly. And the most important thing is that people have to wear a mask. They just have to.
Mayor, I also want to ask you about that new shelter in place that you said that it possibly you would not, that is not off the table, that you would order a new shelter in place order if the cases continue to go in the wrong direction. It feels as if you're pulling every lever you can, but at this point you're looking for toward the future. You really think that would be necessary to order a new shelter in place?
I sure hope not, but unfortunately, the enormous surge that we've seen in new cases really mimics where we were at back in March of this year. It's that steep. And when you see those kinds of increases, when you see the number of people going into hospitals, we've got to be able to use every tool in our toolkit. I hope that we're not going to get to that place. But really, Anna, it depends upon the decisions that you and me and your listeners make every single day. If people still aren't taking this virus seriously enough, they're not wearing face coverings, they're not limiting their social gatherings, they're not engaging in social distancing. Doctor already talked about a couple of cases where people are having huge parties in bars where they're moving from table to table and not keeping their pod size to six or less. So when we see that and we understand that people are suffering COVID fatigue, but man, oh man, this is not the time for us to be less diligent. It's not the time for us to take our foot off the gas. When the weather gets cold, which means we're going back inside, we've got to be even more diligent than we were before.
And then that's why the decision on the bars, I mean, that explains that. I wonder, though, we had people have called into the show and they wonder this. Since most of the spread, bars aside, come from these community, what are they called, community spread situations or parties, private gatherings, and not from restaurants and that kind of thing, would you consider fining folks who are just doing the wrong thing and sort of isolating them? I know the restaurants are very afraid that you may make the next move, that they're included in this too, just as the governor did in four new counties this week.
Well, look, we want to be as surgical in using the tools as possible. But the truth is, we're seeing this spread in every demographic, every age group, across every part of our city. So it's challenging, and what we're seeing from the case investigations and from contact tracing is people are saying that they got it from somebody that they know, which means those are social gatherings. And so that's why we're focused on the social gathering, both in public but also in homes. And we're really emphasizing to people, and we've been doing this now for many weeks, you've got to limit the number of people in your house. We all do this. When we're home, we close the door. That's our safe space. And we then say, oh, yeah, come on over for a drink. Let's play some cards. Let's have a weekend dinner or a picnic. We can't afford to do that when we've got so much community spread. So we've got to be much more diligent and understand that there's a lot of people out there who have COVID-19 that are asymptomatic. Mm-hmm. And we can't let our guard down. And that's why we're really impressing the limitation on social gatherings is critical. No matter where it is, we've got to limit social gatherings.
Hey, Mayor, I know we want to get to the budget that's out there right now and circulating the information of what you've proposed here. I was thinking about this because last year on the show, I just launched the show. It was my very first day, and you came on. And I remember then you talked about the serious fiscal challenges ahead for our city back in 2019 before all of this. I'm sure you never imagined putting together a pandemic budget with these kinds of loss in revenue and people in their situation of so many different challenging situations. But here we are, and you put it out there. And what can you tell us about the difficult decisions that were made?
Well, it's simply that. Every single decision was difficult. It was not easy to figure out how you solve a $1.2 billion deficit without doing harm to basic city services, without doing harm to our economy, and really minimizing the amount of people that are going to be dramatically impacted, not the least of which are our incredible city workers. This was not easy, not one single decision. I sweated every detail, and I will just say I really lost sleep worrying about the prospects of layoffs. I really did. This has been very, very difficult. And putting a budget together in any circumstance is not easy, but doing it under these conditions was one of the hardest things that I've ever had to do. And we looked inward first. We looked at efficiencies and savings that we could glean from the operation of city government. I just think that's what the responsible thing to do is before we ask our residents and our taxpayers to give more, we've got to demonstrate to them that we are fiduciaries of their hard-earned dollars and that we're looking at ways to solve problems with the government first. And really, that's what we did. We looked inward first. But when you're looking at $1.2 billion, you can't do all that with efficiencies and savings. You've got to look at other things that levers that you can pull, and that's precisely what we did. And aside from that, obviously there's some borrowing. Let's talk about the elephant in the room, mm-hmm. which is the property tax increase.
Right.
Look, a lot of people predicted, given the size of the hole, that we were going to have to do multiple hundreds of dollars in property tax increases. I'm happy to say that we didn't have to do that sizable amount, but we did have to do something. And I want your listeners to understand that for sure that was the last resort because we know how much people hate property taxes and how people have been burdened by property taxes in the past. But the thing that's different about this year is that we are asking for the property tax increase to be tied to the consumer price index. And why is that important? That's important because in years past, because elected officials didn't want to make the decision to raise taxes, what they did is avoided a property tax, which may have made political sense, but it wasn't fiscally sound. And I say that because then what happened is year after year of no property taxes, and then boom, a huge spike in property taxes. Well, I don't know about you, but for me, I want to know what's coming down the pike. I want to have some certainty and stability. And by tying a property tax increase, this modest increase, which is $56 to the average homeowner, by tying that to the cost of living increase, then we add stability and predictability so our homeowners and our businesses can better be in a situation to plan. And that's what we've tried to do.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. And there's a 3-cent increase on gas, too, and you're trying to find different places to do this. Is there any chance, Mayor, that any of these would roll back when times are better, when you have the sorts of revenues that the city is desperately needing but just don't have right now?
Well, look, our hope is that once we get on the other side of COVID-19, that our economy is absolutely going to rebound. I mean, we were on track before COVID hit our city to be talking about a budget surplus in the near future. And I'm confident that we can get back there, but we've got to make sure that we shore up our city finances, that we do everything that we can to support our local economy. And then obviously, God willing, a vaccine will come sooner rather than later, and we'll be able to put this very difficult and dark time in our rearview window. But yeah, we can't predict what the future is going to be. This budget is a worst-case scenario for sure, because that's the reality of where we are right now. But if other resources come in and we can roll back some of these changes, then we definitely will look to do whatever we can to mitigate the harm to our taxpayers and our residents.
Quickly, Mayor, I do want to ask you about funding of the police department and crime and that kind of thing. This budget does call for, I want to make sure I say it right, but what, about 500 police would be cut from the budget. Some of them would be vacancies. Is that correct?
No, it's actually a higher number. It's 618, that's civilian and sworn. Over 500 are coming from vacancies of line police officers or our POs. This is something that was necessary. Everybody had to share in the sacrifice. We sat down with police leadership over many, many conversations to make sure that we weren't doing anything to impede the ability to keep people safe. Some people said, wow, this is just like the prior administration where they cut and then were forced to do a huge hiring surge. Not so. And here's the big difference, Anna, and I think this is important for your listeners to understand. Way before COVID impacted our city, we started reorganizing the police department to put more officers back on the street. We formed the public safety, the Office of Public Safety Administration within last year's budget precisely because we knew that we needed to take those officers, sworn members that were doing clerical and administrative functions, and put them back out into the districts to be part of the crime fight. We've literally put hundreds of officers back on the street to be responsive to the needs of our residents. That is a big, big difference now than what has been done in previous administrations. And we're going to keep looking for ways that we can get officers back on the street. We don't need officers who've gone through all the training, who we pay a nice middle-class income to be clerical assistants or drivers or administrative personnel. If you've come on the job to be the police, we want you to be the police, and we want you to be part of the neighborhood response, and that's exactly what we're trying to do.
Hey, I know that you've also included in this budget, we don't have time to go into detail, but a group of mental health experts that will pair with police to answer certain crisis calls, and I know that's something that's been suggested as something that would help. That's part of this budget. People can look at some of the alternative policing things that you are introducing here. Can I quickly ask you just about crime in the city and also, sure, Mayor, about the perception of crime? Because I think that those two things are very real and sort, yeah, of distinct in some ways. I mean, we talk about this on the air, and we have listeners call in from the suburbs and say that they just don't feel safe coming into our city. And there's a perception issue. There's a reality issue, too, with some of that. I just wonder, what would you say to folks about that? Because we need our city and our neighborhoods to start thriving and people to feel comfortable and safe living here, coming here, visiting here, spending their dollars here.
Well, look, I understand the concern, and I take public safety extraordinarily seriously, as you well know. Now, we're working hard to really bring down crime in our city. And, you know, for most visitors, they experience Chicago in our downtown area. Our downtown is absolutely safe, and we encourage people to come in and enjoy the restaurants, enjoy the other attractions in our downtown area, but also our neighborhoods. We've got a great, great, vibrant neighborhoods all across the city, and they are safe as well. Do we have some challenges in certain areas of the city? No question about it. But are we being diligent every single day to do everything that we can so that the residents in their neighborhoods can also enjoy peace and tranquility? Yes, we are. Are we where we need to be? No chance. I've said this before, and I mean it to be true. I want Chicago to be the best and safest big city in the country. If you look at where we were a year ago, we ended 2019 under 500 homicides, which is a record for this city. And where things, I think, got off the rails this year, again, all roads lead to COVID-19. Every part of our public safety infrastructure, from the police to federal partners, to the courts, to the prosecutors, to the jail, and all of our community organizations that are really critically important in providing support to neighborhoods. Every single facet of our public safety ecosystem was dramatically impacted by COVID-19, and many parts of that ecosystem have just started to come back online in late summer, early fall. So we've seen a spike. New York has seen a spike. LA has seen a spike. This is something that's happening across the country because public safety isn't just about policing. It's about a whole set of tools and interventions. And when every part of it is impacted, the way that COVID-19 has devastated our public safety infrastructure, unfortunately, it is not surprising that we're seeing a spike in violence. But we're diligent every single day. You know this, Anna. Mm-hmm. Our police officers are valiant and heroic and are doing everything that they can to keep our city safe. And I'm doing everything I can to support them, but also support our street outreach and street intervention, our public health, our mental health, working on jobs and workforce development and other things that we know are critically important, not only to healthy and vibrant lives, but also lead to crime prevention and violence reduction.
Yeah, it just feels sometimes like we're mired in so many challenges right now. You must feel the weight of the world on your shoulders. But I do believe that we're going to emerge brighter and that stronger than ever, and I'm sure you feel that same way, too. I wonder, what are you doing to de-stress these days, Mayor? Do you have some secret, something you're doing at the end of the day, just screaming in the closet, or what happens for you?
I'm yelling at the TV when I watch the Bears.
Oh, speaking of the Bears, since you brought them up, our 5-1 Bears, the sports department would be very upset if I didn't ask you, do you see fans in the stands?
I think the Bears, I had a call over the weekend with the whole Bears leadership and people from NFL. I think they've got a very solid plan to bring fans back into the stand. But as we all recognize on that call, and it's even gotten worse since we talked on the weekend, this case surge is no joke.
Yeah.
And so I'd like to see fans back in the Soldier Field. I'm hoping that we'll get there before our home games are over. But when we're seeing this kind of surge, this is not the time to make that move. And the Bears absolutely understand that. They've been great partners with us. As I said, I think between them, the folks that run Soldier Field on game day, they've got a very solid plan. They've learned a lot from the experience of other stadiums across the country. And I feel very confident in their plan for bringing people in safely, protecting them during the game, and then also having them exit safely. But we've got to get our case numbers down before we can see fans in Soldier Field.
Yeah, I can see why that discussion's tabled for a little while. I get it, Mayor. I appreciate your time. And you know what? Thank you for calling in. Please keep the conversation going. And, you know, it's good to hear your voice. And thanks for making time for WGN and me.
No, my pleasure, Anna. And keep doing what you're doing. You have a great show.
Thank you so much. Mayor Lori Lightfoot there.